Rarely is it truly pitch black. Even just a little bit of light creeping into the darkness does so much to illuminate a space and to reveal one's surroundings. When it is, in those rare instances, truly completely dark, it is nearly impossible to orient oneself in space and leaves us groping about in any attempt to try to figure out just exactly where we're standing. Oftentimes, it takes light being introduced to the darkness to help us find our footing. We need this light in order to know where we are. As we continue with the practical implications of Paul's theology about grace and peace, we are about to tackle a sizable passage concerning the Christian life. Now, unlike the complex textual issues that we ran into last week, I tend to see today's passage as being relatively straightforward, despite the many challenges that it will surely present any of us who would choose to actually apply it to how we live our daily lives. And since we don't have all that much time today, and less by the minute, to tackle such an expansive text, I am going to split it up and discuss it in three sections. You're welcome to look at your Bibles if you want to follow along, but this is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Remember that Paul assumes a Gentile audience for this letter, which is likely being distributed from the central hub of Ephesus for the various churches that are forming throughout the province of Asia. These Gentile converts have not benefited from the gifts that have been given to Israel to prepare them for their calling to engage in good works of grace. They've been raised in the darkness, unable to see the world about them clearly because they lack the light. Thus, they have been predisposed towards giving in to the various disoriented impulses of our human condition, indulging readily in impurity and greed. After living for so long in the dark, they are no longer sensitive to the darkened ways of living that they are practicing. It is only being exposed to the light that will give them a clearer sense of the world and their place within it, which is precisely where Jesus enters the picture. He is the light, When we look at him, we should be able to see the dehumanizing path of greed and injustice. He reveals the disastrous course of deceiving ourselves, believing that the darkness isn't really that bad. He shows us that there is another way, a path to righteousness and holiness, a path to see what God has always wanted us to be. Which takes us into the next section of our passage, Ephesians 4, 25 through 5, 7. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must no longer steal, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes down on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Because of what we've seen in the light of Christ, there are two paths that are opened to us. We can either continue with the darkened ways of our former lives, or we can engage in the central actions of belonging to God's family. The way of life we are to leave behind includes falsehood, anger to the point of sin, stealing, unwholesome talk, grieving the Holy Spirit, which we saw last week is probably divisiveness in Paul's mind. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and malice. And something that should be painfully clear to us by this point in the letter is that all of these actions that we are supposed to leave behind, all of these run counter to Paul's central themes of grace and peace. All of these things undermine the unity of the Holy Spirit that makes us into one family for God out of all of the peoples of the world. We cannot live together or trust one another when we lean into this darkened behavior. For all of the actions that have been enumerated obscure the truth of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished on our behalf. If we engage in the kinds of actions that Paul has denounced, then we renounce the power of Christ's gospel for bringing peace and for tearing down the dividing walls of hostility that are between us. Also, Paul once again points to the incredible danger of those people who would encourage us to practice the sort of destructive behaviors for community that break down the communion that Jesus has sacrificed so much to accomplish on our behalf. And so Paul writes, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient." Since we have been elected to be one unified people, it is tantamount to blasphemy against the Spirit to reject what Christ has done on our behalf. We are joined as one people to bear witness to the powers and to the authorities that their work to divide is less powerful than the sacrificial love of Jesus. And so we, as God's family, must reject every leader, every teacher who encourages us to cling to the ways of darkness that Jesus has exposed in the light, to being weaker than his choice to suffer and die. If you follow a leader who practices falsehood, anger, stealing, unwholesome talk, divisiveness, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, or malice, then you simply cannot be on the side of light. You are living in darkness, and you are working against the power of Christ. And with this stern warning still ringing in our ears, Paul concludes this section with Ephesians 5, 8 through 20. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all the goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you.' Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, my friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As the section wraps up, we're given the most straightforward assessment of our situation in this whole letter. "For you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." We were not simply in the darkness. We were darkness itself. Not only did we struggle to see the world around us shrouded in the darkness, but we couldn't see ourselves either. This is a hard word, but if we can accept it, then we must recognize the dire straits we're in if we continue to practice the darkened ways that Christ forbids. We cannot please the Lord with the ways of darkness, but rather must expose that which is darkened within us to the light. It is shameful to discuss our darkness in the darkness, but bringing it into the light allows for ourselves to be changed. And that is surely the focus here. We need to be changed. We individually, me, Eric, I'll point to Aneva because I can't get into too much trouble for that. Aneva, we need to be changed. We are not called to judge others for the darkness that they cannot see, but rather we must address the darkness that we are hiding within ourselves. And this is what verse 14 is all about. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, this is almost certainly a piece of early Christian poetry or music that is based on Isaiah 60, verse 1, that was probably used in early baptismal liturgy. You were asleep in your death in the darkness. So let Christ shine on you so that you are awakened into life. Die to death, be made alive to life. Leave behind the darkness and death that is in you, yes, you personally. The darkness in you is killing Christian unity and giving power to the authorities of the world. So stop obeying them. Obey Christ and expose the ways of darkness within you so that the power of the gospel can become in you a light that is shining in the world. This is the path of wisdom. This is the way to please God. So take every opportunity to act in this fashion. The best course for doing so is to be a worshipful person. You can be filled with the Spirit, who is your inheritance, by speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you want to counter falsehood, anger, stealing, unwholesome talk, divisiveness, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and malice, then sing in praise of Christ with all of your heart. Do not become overly concerned with the worship stylings that you prefer, but sing joyfully. Love your fellow family member in how they are singing. Permit them freedom in the way that they are singing. Bless them in the way that they are singing, and then joyfully sing yourself as well. We are made to worship. So worship in the light. Expose all that is dark within you to the light and allow for yourself to be changed into the likeness of the one whom you worship. Look more and more like Jesus. Instead of lying, be on the side of truth. Instead of being angry, be on the side of forgiveness. Instead of stealing, work to provide for yourself and to contribute to others. Instead of speaking unwholesomely, use your words to bless. Instead of grieving the Spirit in divisiveness, hold together with one another in unity. Instead of being bitter, be flexible and kind. Instead of raging and brawling in your anger, direct your anger towards the injustice in the world and address it through mercy. Instead of slandering, lift people up with praise. Instead of living with malice towards your neighbor, pray that they will benefit in this life beyond what they deserve. All of these demonstrate the life of Christ, the one whom we worship as Lord. My friends, may you live in the light. No longer exist in the darkness, and no longer allow for darkness to exist in yourself. May you be a worshipful person and a worshipful people who sing praises to God with every aspect of your lives. Rejoice in the fact that you are given the opportunity to change. You are given the opportunity to grow into the kind of person that God desires for you to be, so as not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Yes, may you rejoice in Christ Jesus, who is the light. He is the light that allows for you to be light as well. Thanks be to God. Amen.